The following is a home program given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 4th, 2011, in Auckland, New Zealand.
So, tonight, by popular demand, we are studying from the... I consider your demand popular. By popular demand, we are reading from this wonderful, most wonderful book. You see, Bhagavad Gita is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But what good is philosophy without practice? You can philosophize all day long, but you're not going to go back to Gaudiya. You just become a puffed-up jnani. But if you can actually put the knowledge perfectly into practice, the knowledge of bhakti, that is called vijnan, when you apply that knowledge, then you become perfect and you achieve the transcendental dimension far, far beyond the confines of this mortal world. And that practical system for attaining it is given by Prabhupada in The Nectar of Devotion. So this is the most important book. After you read the Bhagavad Gita, then you must study very carefully every page from cover to cover, The Nectar of Devotion. So we're going to hit on one of the high points here, the how to discharge devotional service, the beginning part of the chapter 6 we will study tonight. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 6, How to Discharge Devotional Service. Srila Rupa Goswami states that his elder brother, Sanatana Goswami, has compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas, and therein has mentioned many rules and regulations to be followed by the Vaishnavas. Some of them are very important and prominent. And Srila Rupa Goswami will now mention these very important items for our benefit. The purport of this statement is that Srila Rupa Goswami proposes to mention only basic principles, not details. For example, a basic principle is that one has to accept a spiritual master. Exactly how one follows the instructions of his spiritual master is considered a detail. For example, if one is following the instructions of his spiritual master, and that instruction is different from the instructions of another spiritual master, this is called detailed information. But the basic principle of acceptance of a spiritual master is good everywhere, although the details may be different. Sri Rupa Goswami does not wish to enter into details here, but wants to place before us only the principles. He mentions the basic principles as follows. 1. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. 2. Becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. 3. Obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. 4. Following in the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. And 5. Inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. 6. Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This means that when we are engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, we must be prepared to give up something which we may not like to give up, and also we have to accept something which we may not like to accept. 7. Residing in a sacred place of pilgrimage like Dwarka or Vrindavan. 8. Accepting only what is necessary or dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. 9. Observing the fasting day on Ekadasi. And 10. Worshipping sacred trees like the banyan tree. These 10 items are preliminary necessities for beginning the discharge of devotional service and regulative principles. In the beginning, if a neophyte devotee observes the above-mentioned 10 principles, surely he will quickly make good advancement in Krishna consciousness. The next set of instructions is listed as follows. 1. One should rigidly give up the company of non-devotees. 2. One should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. 3. One should not be very enthusiastic about constructing costly temples or monasteries. 4. One should not try to read too many books, nor should one develop the idea of learning his livelihood by lecturing on or professionally reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. 5. One should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. 6. One should not be under the spell of lamentation in loss or jubilation in gain. 7. One should not disrespect the demigods. 8. One should not give unnecessary trouble to any living entity. 9. One should carefully avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord or in worshiping the deity in the temple. 10. One should be very intolerant toward the blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of God and Krishna or his devotees. Without following the above-mentioned 10 principles, one cannot properly elevate himself to the platform of sadhana bhakti or devotional service and practice. Altogether, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions 20 items, and all of them are very important. Out of the 20, the first three, namely accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from him, and serving him with respect and reverence, are the most important. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Badakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatam Vritam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Pudijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada have made a very clear program here. How to discharge devotional service. And the most important things, as Prabhupada is mentioning, summarizing, accepting Guru, accepting shelter of Guru, becoming initiated by Guru, and obeying the orders of Guru. If we don't obey orders of Guru, then we're not actually accepting Guru. You see? Not that I take initiation, I have a spiritual name, I do whatever I want. You know. But what is that called? Christianity. I accept Jesus, and now I can do whatever I want because I'm saved. You see? I got initiated. Now, by Guru's mercy, I'm going to be saved. I can do whatever I want. Gurudev knows that I can't follow the principles very well, and he's very merciful, so I'll be okay because Gurudev is merciful. That's omitting, that's skipping over the third item, you see, obeying the orders of the spiritual master. Prabhupada has stated here how this, it's necessary to follow these 10 principles to make good advancement in Krishna consciousness. So the outsider, he may say, well, what is this anyway? I mean, guru? Follow the guru? Follow the orders of guru? This is crazy. What are you people talking about? Why this system? This system is actually coming from God. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasheo vidu. God Himself is giving us this system. He wants us to become the devotees of His devotee. Some people say, well, I don't accept that. I just want to become devotee of God. That's it. Finished. I will become devotee of God, but not devotee, but devotee of God. No, no. I don't want that. I'll just become devotee of God. You see. So what does Krishna say in the Adi Purana? Ye me bhakta jana parata. The one who is my devotee, O Sanaprita, na me bhakta shtate janaha. He's not my devotee. Mad bhaktanam chiye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. You understand? If you try to jump over head of guru and become directly devotee of Krishna, Krishna says, get out, upstart. I don't accept you. If I go to Washington, D.C., the U.S., to the White House, I just show up, they say, I want to see the president. Will they let me in? No. But if I'm good friends with one of the family members, then I can easily get in. So we have to, in this way, Prabhupada says, a wealthy man, very difficult to please. You may have to give him thousands of dollars to please him. You see. But if you give his child a simple lodging, or you pat his child, or you pat his dog even, Prabhupada said. He said the spiritual master, he is dog of God, you see. If you can please the dog, then the master immediately becomes pleased. So God is very big man, you see. He controls everything, he owns everything, he's the biggest man. So to please him directly is not a very easy thing. But if you can please the servant of God, then God becomes easily pleased. So it's a very, very practical thing. We must approach to the servant of God. Dasa, dasa, nadasa. The more we become servant of the servant of the servant of God, then we become dearer and dearer and dearer to the Lord. There is no one more dear to the Lord than His devotees. So if you don't like His devotees, you think He's going to like you? Krishna, there's no one that Krishna loves more than His devotees. And if you hate His devotees, do you think He will love you? So if you want to have loving relationship with that amazing person who's all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous, then just have that loving relationship with His devotees. You see? So important thing. As confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur in his wonderful Namatan Kirtan Bhajan. Anande Bolo Hadi Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Worship the Holy Dham. And always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnava, you see. This is the secret. If we can get that dust, that foot dust from the Vaishnavas on our heads, you see, then that's how we can get Krishna Prem. Krishna Prem is not very easily attained. Krishna is very, very strict, very, very tight when it comes to giving out Krishna Prem. Why? Because when you achieve Krishna Prem, Krishna becomes your property. Just as Yashoda Mata, she is controlling God, when you develop your love of Krishna, you become the controller of Krishna. That person who controls and knows everything within the universe, who is not a blade of grass, can move without his sanction, he becomes under your control. You see? When you achieve prema, Krishna prema. So just imagine how stingy God will be about giving out Krishna prema. Not very just cheaply throwing it to everywhere. But through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the spiritual masters coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the storehouse of love of God has been broken open, and that prema is being distributed like anything. We simply have to learn how to connect with that prema. Rupa Goswami, as I was explaining this morning in the Bhagavatam class, Rupa Goswami is very, very nicely explained in the Padyavali. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatang Yadi Kutopalabhyate Tattala Yang Api Mulyam Ekalam Janmakoti Sukritaira Labhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds, thousands, even millions of lifetimes. It can be achieved only by paying one price, tattalayam, intense greed. And then Rupa Goswami says, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. If you find out that Krishna Prem is available somewhere, then you should run to that place as quick as you can and grab it before somebody else grabs it. It's like when they sell out these tickets for the concerts, you know, some famous rock star comes, people camp out for days to be the first one in the queue, and once the tickets sell out, that's it, you see. So we should be willing to camp out in the cold winter, whatever we have to do, somehow or other get that Krishna Prem, you see, whatever it takes to get Krishna Prem. No obstacle too great. Even I have to swim the English Channel, I would, whatever it takes, you see, to get that Krishna Prem. That's how we should be very greedy and eager to get him. And that is available from the bona fide spiritual master. He is the mercy manifestation of Krishna. If somehow we get that contact of the bona fide spiritual master, he can give us Krishna Prem. It is a wonderful gift. A most wonderful gift. How is the spiritual master able to give Krishna Prem? Because he simply, purely passes on what he has received from his spiritual master. That's all. It's a very simple thing. Just like the DHL employee, how is he a good employee? Whatever package he is told to deliver to this address, he delivers it. That's all. He doesn't open it up and remove something from the package. He doesn't open it up and put something else in the package, you see. He simply delivers whatever he's assigned to deliver. He simply delivers it. That's all. He's reliable. So that is the bona fide spiritual master. He is simply the humble DHL man delivering the goods that he has received from his spiritual master without any adulteration. So if we have the good fortune to come in contact with such a teacher who is giving us the pure bhakti that is coming from Krishna through the authorized line of teachers, then we should take it immediately. I'm ready. All right, now you simply instruct me how I can become the pure devotee. I'm ready. I've had enough of this hellish nightmare of material existence, birth after birth after birth, going through millions and millions of forms, jalajana valakshani, stavara lakshavengshati, krimaya rudhasankhyaka pakshinam dashalakshanam trichalakshani ma pashavaha chaturlakshani manashaha. I'm tired of it. 900,000 species in the water, jalajana valakshani, 900,000 species in the water. Let's see. Stavara lakshavengshati, 2 million types of non-movings, the trees, the bushes, the plants, you see. Stavara lakshavengshati. Krimaya rudya sankhyaka, the worms and reptiles, 11 lakhs, 1,100,000 types of worms and reptiles. Pakshinam dasha lakshanam, 1 million types of birds. Tengsha lakshani, pashavaha, 3 million types of beasts and 400,000 different types of humans. So I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of going through this wheel of birth and death millions and millions and millions of times over and over again. For what purpose? Simply to be born, to get sick, to get old, and then what? To die. Do you want to keep doing it forever? Being born, getting sick, getting old and dying again and again and again, getting attached to this family, being ripped away from it, then put in another family, being ripped away from that family. It's just so disorienting to go through the cycle of birth and death. People ask, well, why can't we remember our previous lifetime? Well, I can tell you, it's God's kindness. Some of the people, actually, we've heard the reports, those people who were in that, who survived the Twin Tower attack in New York City, when those airplanes crashed into the World Trade Center. The people who survived that, they have the most horrible nightmares. And they have to go to psychiatrists to try to cleanse that out, because they're just living in this horrible vision of being in that building when the planes hit. You see? Somehow they got out. I mean, it was a very hideous thing. It was so bad, people just jumped out of the window rather than be burned to death. They just jumped out and 20 over. They jumped out 20 feet, 20 stories up, or 100 stories, and just died that way instead of being burned in the flames, you see. It was so a hideous situation. So, it's called post-trauma stress disorder. They suffer from that post-trauma stress disorder. So, if we could remember our previous lifetimes, we would all be psychological basket cases with post-trauma stress disorder. Therefore, we've been relieved of that by being given forgetfulness of our previous lifetimes. You may think, oh, look, that tree looks so peaceful on the side of the hill over there. But I guarantee you, if you're stuck in a tree's body, you're not going to feel very peaceful. You got to take everything out there. The cold, the rain, the heat, people coming over and carving their names in your bark, and then cutting your limbs off, and cutting you down. You see, if a fire comes, you have to stand there. You can't run, you see. It's very difficult. These lower species of life, you observe the animals, they're in constant fear. They're in constant fear for their lives, you see. So we're very fortunate, actually, we've forgotten their previous lifetimes. So instead of thinking, yeah, I really want to know my previous lifetime, we should think, now how can I get out of here? You've been staying in some hotel, and every night you've gone to a different room, you see. And now there's a fire in the hotel, and they said, come on, we're rescuing you, let's get out. And you say, well, wait a minute, I'd like to remember which room I was in last night. and the night before that, and then tell me how to get out of the hotel. Tell me what room, find out from the desk clerk what room I was in last night. I mean, does it make any sense? Why do we need to know what he wore in our previous lifetime or the lifetime before that? What value does it have? But some people say, I really need to know. I want to go to a post, the regression hypnotist, pay big money to find out what I was in my previous lifetime. What point is it in doing that? You see, it doesn't make any sense. Get out of this madness. Get out of this quagmire. The ship is sinking. Yeah, I want to know, right now the orchestra on the Titanic is playing this song. What was the song they were playing an hour ago? I want to remember that song they were playing an hour ago. It was really a good song. Oh, get off the Titanic. Get in the lifeboat right now. You see? But I really thought it was really a cool tune. I want to remember what they were playing. Can you hum that tune for me? They were playing an hour ago. The boat's sinking, idiot. Get in the lifeboat. You see? So we really need to understand that we're in a very precarious position right now. We're in the most precarious position right now. At any minute, death can take us away. There is no guarantee. We will live for 1 hour more. We never know. At any minute, death can take us out of this scene. So we should prepare ourselves right now by taking shelter of Krishna. This is called intelligence. This is called sanity. Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyada talabhyate dukkavadanyatasakam kalena sarvatra gabhira ramhasa. Those persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined endeavor for that purposeful end, which is not obtainable by wandering from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Pataloka. They don't care for this. They just want to know, how can I get out of this quagmire? They're not interested in trying to become a lure of this material world. They don't find it very attractive. Even if you can go to the highest planet, Abramabhuna Loka Punaravartina Arjuna, Mamu Prichita Konteya Punarjanma Na Vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of ecstasy? No. All are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, he never takes birth again. Punar janma navidyate, he never takes birth again. So this is the intelligent plan, you see. This is the actual place where an insane person places his energy. He focuses, he makes this program, the self-realization process, the Krishna consciousness process, he makes this the goal of his life. He dovetails all his activities into Krishna consciousness, his livelihood, his education, his relationships, his talents, his inclinations. He dovetails everything into Krishna consciousness. It's not that he has to deny his career, his education, his relationships, his talents. They don't have to be denied. The Mayavadis want to deny, you see. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Spirit is reality and matter is false. We don't say. Is the prison false? No. The government has built a university, they've all built a prison. Just as the university is real, the prison is also real. To say it is false, that is not very good. It's real. I know, I used to do that. I used to go to a weekly program in the prison. It was really ecstatic. It was real. It was real. There was a real bars there, and real walls and real guards and real machine guns. Everything was real. It's a high security prison. We had a great kirtan there every week. Actually, it's an interesting story. They weren't allowed to have any food at these programs, but these inmates, you know, they're all outlaws, so the heck with the rules. Some of them worked in the kitchen, so they would borrow five-finger discounts, different articles out of the kitchen, potatoes and sour cream and suji, you know, farina and butter. And then they would take... They rigged up what they called a stinger. They would take two wires and put it in the electrical outlet under their bunk, and they would actually could bring water to a boil without the guards knowing it. And they'd cook gurunga potatoes under their bunk illegally. And they'd have an incredible feast every Saturday. They would go there and they would smuggle it in. They'd just walk by the chaplain's office, you know, carrying a little sack with, you know. And we'd have an incredible love feast, contraband, illegal love feast right there in the chapel every Sunday. It was ecstatic. It was the most amazing prasadam. Think of what they went through to make that feast every week. It was really amazing. All under the guards' nose, you know. The guards didn't know. They were making... Every week, without fail, they had a wonderful feast. Contraband, illegal, smuggled in to the chapel feast. So I had the experience, yes, prison is also real, you see. There, I was preaching there about the University of Oklahoma, and that was real. And this was then a few miles away, about 30 miles away, was the prison, and they were both real. So the spiritual world is reality, and the material world is also reality. You can't say it's unreal. So the Mayavadis, they wanted to deny the reality of this material existence. That's not a very proper thing. It is real. The unreality is that it's not what it appears to be. And see, that's the unreality of it. It's real. Just like if you go to a movie theater, the screen is real. There's a real screen there. And the projector back there in the room behind the, you know, upstairs, there's a real projector there, and there's real light being beamed on that screen. But it gives the appearance of a different reality. When you sit down to watch the movie, after a few minutes, you know, sitting in Fargo, North Dakota, it's 20 degrees below zero, and you're watching the Blue Lagoon on a January night. And you're going, wow, this is great, you know, Fiji Islands, wow, this is great. And then all of a sudden the lights, you know, the movie ends and the credits come up, the lights come up. Oh my God, it's a blizzard out there. I thought I was in Fiji, you know, enjoying the Blue Lagoon. You see? And so that's, the material world gives you a semblance of something. It's real, but it gives you a semblance of something which is not real. And what is that semblance? That you are God. This material world facilitates your delusion that you are God. God gave us this because we wanted it. You know the story of that little girl? She wanted the moon. Prabhupada gives this example. This little girl wanted the moon. She's looking out the window at the moon. Mommy, mommy, give me. She's pointing at the moon. Now, can the mother give the child the moon? It's not possible. Not possible. But the mother, she wants to satisfy the child. So the intelligent mother, she hands the child a mirror in such a way that she says, here, my dear little daughter, now you can have the moon. It's now yours. Oh, mommy, thank you. My mommy loves me so much, she has given me the moon. Now she's holding the moon. Ah, now I have the moon in my hands. So that is, God has laid them. You want to be God? Well, you really can't be God. But since you're my affectionate son, I will give you the mirror of this material existence. And you can hold this in your hand and you can think, yes, now I am God. That is Krishna's kindness. It's a foolish desire. But to the affectionate son, the mother wants, or daughter, the parent wants to satisfy. All right, my dear child. You think you'd like to have the moon. All right, I'll give you the moon. And then, of course, the parent knows when the child will realize that I don't really have the moon, but Mother was very kind. She's pacified my foolish desire. So in the same way, the Lord knows, all right, I will pacify them. But by and by they will realize this is foolish thing. Let me simply be servant of God, that's all. That is my actual position. So this is that child will grow up and realize I didn't really have the moon after all, but Mother was very kind. The condition so to realize I wasn't really God, but God was very kind to facilitate my foolish little desire to think that I was the Supreme. So when one is actually serious, to throw away that illusion, no, I'm not the center of the universe. No, I'm not the center of enjoyment. It's really not true that everything revolves around me. One realizes the futility of such an illusory conception. Then he's ready for a bona fide spiritual. He or she is ready to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. He says, okay, you ready to get the cure? All right, I'm ready to administer it to you. You see? When you realize you're sick, you go to a doctor and he administers the cure. So when you realize that you're suffering from the disease called Bhava Rog, the repetition of birth and death, then you go to the bona fide spiritual master. He administers the cure. He gives the prescription. And here it is. These 20 items, you see, that's the prescription. So if you follow these items very carefully, you follow them with great enthusiasm, patience, and determination, what will be the result? You're going to get cured. You're going to become liberated from all anxieties. You're going to become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. You're going to come to the point where you can actually directly, personally associate with Krishna again, face to face. We just had a wonderful retreat outside of Sydney in that beautiful Govinda Valley. We studied in detail over 2 days, and we had about 6 sessions, I guess. We studied in detail the path to pure bhakti through all the steps, Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prem. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience for all of us. It was a wonderful experience. To realize, actually, it was very humbling. To read about the very exalted states, it was very humbling. If one were to consider, well, where am I on this advancement? I concluded that my position was simply despicable rascal. That was my conclusion. When I read about all these exalted states, you see. Despicable rascal. And it was ecstatic to realize that actually my position, I'm a despicable rascal. It was ecstatic to realize that. So, the great kindness of Srila Prabhupada is he is taking us despicable rascals and he's transforming us into saintly devotees of the Lord. This is the great kindness of Srila Prabhupada. That he's giving us this wonderful, wonderful process. How to become completely liberated from all the dirt, the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, all of this garbage that has accumulated over millions and millions of lifetimes in this hellish sojourn of material life, you see. Prabhupada has given us this wonderful system to completely liberate us from all of this contamination. All we have to do is take it with full seriousness, with full gratitude. That attitude of gratitude is very, very important thing. If we don't have the attitude of gratitude, we remain stuck, can't move forward. We have to have that feeling of gratitude to Krishna. We have to have that feeling of gratitude towards the spiritual master. If there's any questions, write them down. Because very shortly I'll be opening up the discussion for questions. Right now I see only blank pages up there. Since we're not Mayavadis, I won't be able to do a very... if you give me a blank page, I won't be able to deal with it. I was a Mayavadi guru, I would say, okay, very good. This is the perfect question. And now I will give the answer. But we are Vaishnavas here. We are not Mayavadis. So kindly write down your questions and I will give you authoritative answers coming from the great Acharyas, the Mahajanas. You know, Prabhupada, just like in ISKCON, we have our GBC, you know. Prabhupada said these 12 Mahajanas, they are Krishna's GBC. So I'll give you the answers coming from the GBC. I'm sure they're verified by the ISKCON GBC, but from the Krishna's GBC. Brahma, Svayambhur, Nadadashambhu, Kumaro, Kapila, Munu. Pralado Janako Bhishmo Balirvayasakirviam Svayambhur Lord Brahma Svayambhur Nadada Narad Muni Svayambhur Nadada Shambhu Shiva Kumara Kapila Manu, the four Kumaras Kapila Dev Manu Svayambhuva Manu Pralado Pralad Maharaj Janak Maharaj Grandfather Bhishma Bali Maharaj Shukadev Goswami and Yamaraj. You know what Prabhupada said about this? He said the majority were householders. The majority of the 12 Mahajanas, they were householders. So we shouldn't think, well, I'm a householder. I have no duty except to make money and, you know, have some kids and gratify my family's sin. No. Householders, they are the majority of the 12 Mahajanas. But if the brahmacharis and sannyasis get real angry, of course they can't really get angry because I'm just repeating what Prabhupada said. But if the sannyasis and brahmacharis get real angry, I'll give them concession. It depends on how you count it, because if you count the four kumaras as four instead of one, then some brahmacharis and sannyasis win. But they are traditionally counted as one. The four kumaras are counted as one mahajanam. If you count it that way, which is the traditional way, the 12 Mahajanas, then the householders win. They have the majority of the GBC. Krishna's GBC. Of course, I don't know how they... I don't think they vote. It would be interesting. If they voted, how would they vote? Would the four Kumaras get one vote or four votes? Anyway. So you can pass the questions forward now. Okay, first question. What happens if I'm not able to serve my guru because of distance? Well, why are you at a distance from your guru? Why aren't you with him at every minute? If you fully accept your spiritual master's lotus feet as your only shelter, then Guru Maharaj is going to move right into your heart. He'll move right into your heart and you'll be living in his constant association at every second. The bona fide disciple is never separated from his or her spiritual master for even one nanosecond because of complete dedication to serving the orders of Guru Maharaj. But I can serve devotees. Yes, that's true. Your spiritual master wants you to serve devotees. So by Guru can still take me back to the spiritual world? Absolutely. If you will serve the devotees, that will give the greatest pleasure to your spiritual master. And you will definitely, if you're absorbed in Vaishnava Seva, that is the topmost guru seva, and such seva will definitely, that is your ticket back to Godhead. Okay. There we go. One of the principles is not to build elaborate temples. Why is that? Actually, it's not that one is not supposed to do that. One is not supposed to do only that. That's the point. Otherwise, why did Prabhupada build so many beautiful temples in Fiji, in Vrindavan, so many beautiful temples. Why did Prabhupada build? No, you have to understand these rules in relationship to what Prabhupada did. And then you understand the actual practical application of the rule. It means don't build only temples. It's not that we built a beautiful temple here in Auckland, so now our business is finished. We don't have to preach. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is say, look at our beautiful temple. See what great devotees we are. We built a beautiful temple. No, it means you shouldn't only build temples. Temples can be built if it's favorable for preaching, and it very much is. So building temples is very good if it's part of a program for educating the general population. The real duty is to educate the general population. That is the real duty. So temple is accepted for that purpose. But not that we simply maintain a temple. People come, they give some donation, and we just live comfortably by worshiping the deity. No. The temple is a base for going out and preaching Krishna consciousness. And if we are not supposed to endeavor to build them... Okay, I already answered them. If I, or we, ask Maharaj for shelter, will be accepted. Well, you have to... only one way to find out is ask. I don't know, if I ask him for shelter, maybe he'll say no, I'm scared to ask. Well, why not be bold? Just go ahead and ask and convince him, you see, that you're ready. Be ready to convince him you're ready. Okay? If one wants to stay in Vrindavan Dham, but circumstances don't allow, one is feeling separation at the same time losing prema, prema with one's deities. The thing is, if you want to stay in Vrindavan, that's great. But why don't you live in Vrindavan in every second? Vrindavan is not only in India. Vrindavan is also in your heart. So if you will follow, actually, if you think you can go to Vrindavan by buying a ticket on, Air New Zealand here? What's the popular way to go to Vrindavan? Air New Zealand?
Singapore Airlines.
Don't think that you can go to Vrindavan by buying a ticket on Singapore Airlines and then hiring a taxi, you know, from Delhi out to Vrindavan. That's not the way to go to Vrindavan. I guarantee you, you're not going to go to Vrindavan by doing that. You can go into a shadow of Vrindavan by doing that. But you'll never actually enter the precincts of Sri Vrindavan Dham by Singapore Airlines and taxiwala. You see? That will not get you to Vrindavan. There's only one thing that will get you to Vrindavan, and that is the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master. So if you have his mercy, you can be in Vrindavan or you cannot be in Vrindavan, but you're in Vrindavan at every minute. You see. What does Shastra say about Krishna? Vrindavanam purit yoja napada ekam gachati. Everyone knows what that means in Sanskrit. It's very simple Sanskrit. Vrindavanam paritjaja. You know that word paritjaja? Sarvadharman paritjaja? What does it mean? Abandon. You see? Or give up. Vrindavanam paritjaja na. Vrindavan, giving up, not. You see? Vrindavanam paritjaja na pada ekam. Pada is foot, ekam is one. Gachati, he goes. It's pretty simple Sanskrit. Vrindavanam paritjaja na pada ekam gachati. Krishna never even sets one foot outside of Vrindavan. So similarly, that person who has taken complete shelter of Guru and Krishna, he also never sets even one foot outside of Vrindavan. He is always living in Krishna. And Krishna means Krishna and Krishna's abode. Because Krishna is always living in his abode. If you're living with Krishna, you're also living with Krishna in Krishna's abode. So, don't think, oh, I have to be situated physically in Vrindavan. Not necessary. Just take complete shelter of the lotus feet of your spiritual master, and you will be, by his grace, living in Vrindavan in every minute. It's described in the scriptures, the spiritual master is the revealer of the Dham. The spiritual master will show you Vrindavan Dham. He will facilitate your entering into Sri Vrindavan. You just have to take shelter of him completely. That's all. Hare Krishna, if one is unable to follow his or her guru's instructions but does service in the temple or at home, are they considered fallen? Well, what are the instructions? We have to see. I mean, You're not following, you're not chanting your rounds, you're not following the four, those are the basic instructions the spiritual master gives. Chant at least 16 rounds daily, follow the four regulative principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. So what if I'm not chanting the rounds? What if I'm having illicit sex, I'm eating meat, I'm drinking alcohol, and I'm playing the lottery, and I do service in the temple? Will they be considered fallen? Of course. Is there hope for them? Sure. As long as they're doing service, they will eventually come back to following the principles. Do we condemn them? No, of course not. We're very kind to someone who's trying to recover. They're not strictly following everything. They're doing some service. We don't condemn them. We see this is a person who's sincerely trying to recover from his fallen position. Let's give him all help and all kindness and all encouragement. Can we accept Prabhupada as a guru? You must accept Prabhupada as your guru. His teachings are the guiding principle of our Krishna conscious life. So you must accept Prabhupada as your spiritual master. If you don't accept Prabhupada as your spiritual master, you're in Maya, Prabhu. So, then I'll just have my diksha from Prabhupada, then, some people say. Just like one friend of ours, they were told by someone, you can get initiated by Prabhupada. You just go to Vrindavan and you take your beads, your bead bag, and you touch it to the Prabhupada Samadhi. And that way you get initiated by Prabhupada. That's what they were told. Can you imagine? Well, no, that doesn't work. The thing is, if I really accept Prabhupada as my spiritual master, that means I obey his instructions, right? So what was his instruction? He said after he departs, the people who come to this movement, they will become the disciples of his disciples. So if you really accept Prabhupada as your guru, that's great. That means you'll take one of his disciples as your spiritual initiating guru. That's what it means. If you take Prabhupada as your guru, that means you will take one of his disciples as your initiating spiritual master. That's what it means. And if you don't do that, you say, no, I'll just take Prabhupada as my guru. Well, guess what? You're not taking Prabhupada as your guru. Because he said to take initiation from one of my disciples. So yes, you must accept Prabhupada as your guru by taking diksha from one of his disciples. You see, that's how it works. So this rhythmic idea that Prabhupada is now and giving initiation, not true, because well, see, they say, well, there was a July 9 letter in 1977 when Prabhupada said that through these 11 will initiate people as Prabhupada's disciples, and that's the system. But wait a minute. That was the system between, start on July 9th, that system was going on. That those 11 people were initiating people as Prabhupada's disciples. That's true. But then on October 18th, 1977, just days before his departure, Srila Prabhupada said, in this condition, I will no longer initiate any disciples. And he instructed one of his disciples to accept someone as his own personal disciple. So there was a rhythmic system between July 9th, they call it the rhythmic system. Prabhupada never called it the rhythmic system. That's become a popular term. There was a rhythmic system between July 7th and October 18th. The Prabhupada officially ended the rhythmic system on October 18th, and he said, now I will no longer initiate. And he had stated in May of 1977, very clearly in a recorded conversation with his leaders, that after he departed, that the new devotees would become disciples of his disciples. He said, they will be grand disciples. Prabhupada said they would be his grand disciples. So, yes, Prabhupada as your grand spiritual master. Not as your spiritual master, but as your grand spiritual master. Param Guru. My Param Guru is Prabhupada, and my Guru is such and such. My Param Guru is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is my Param Guru. You see, that's the position. Prabhupada is your Param Guru, your grand spiritual master. Just like you have father and you have grandfather, so Prabhupada is your Param Guru. He is your guru, yes, Param Guru. Not Diksha Guru, Param Guru. Big difference. Krishna says, if you think of me at the time of death, you attain me. than Maya need for the Guru. What does think of Krishna mean? Does it mean, Krishna, I will think of you, but I ignore all your instructions? Thinking of Krishna means, I must remember his instructions also. As I quoted from the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana paratal, na me bhakta stache jana. The one who is my devotee is not my devotee. So it says, Krishna, I'll think of you, but I'll ignore all your instructions. No, it doesn't work that way. If you buy a lottery ticket to pay off the temple mortgage, it's considered an offense. Is it gambling? Did you win? Did you win? Did you lose your money? Or did you pay off the mortgage yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Did anybody? Sorry, everybody's going to buy lottery tickets to pay off the mortgage here. What's happening?
That's good.
Yeah, it's gambling. Of course, it's gambling. You're just gonna. Why, it's better to put that money in the temple instead of putting the money and just be lost money. That's all. I guarantee you, you're going to lose that money. Better to spend the money in your lottery ticket and give it to the temple. That's a better investment. That's a sure bet. If you like to gamble, then give all your money to the temple and see the result. It's described that if you give to a, it's described in the Krishna book, I think. If you give to a Brahmin, you get such and such a result. If you give to a pure devotee, you get unlimited result. So you want to cash in on the lottery? Whatever money you give to the temple, you're going to get an unlimited return. Millions and billions of times, whatever you gave, you're going to get back in due course. So give money to the temple, as much as you can. Can devotees cast out demons? Yes. By this, each one of us has a demon in our heart. And by this chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. This demon becomes cast out. Actually, when the devotees were staying at John Lennon's estate, they had gotten the building at Berry Place, but it was under construction. They had no place to live, and John Lennon of the Beatles very kindly invited all the devotees, you can come and stay at my place, Tittenhurst. And so there were some different buildings there on the estate. There was one servant's quarters. There was one building where the devotees were staying. And it was haunted by a ghost. So Prabhupada arranged all the devotees. They came there. They had this big kirtan. And it drove the ghost out of the house. So, yes, devotees can definitely cast out the demons by the power of Krishna's holy name. So it looks like the question well has run dry. And there's no more questions, I take it. So that means it's a good time to stop. You have a question? Okay. That means it's a good stopping point here. And we just want to thank you very much for participating in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly take this process with the utmost seriousness because it will make you or break you at the time of death. If you take this process seriously, then you're guaranteed entrance into the transcendental kingdom of God at the time of death. If you neglect it, well, I can guarantee you, gotta take breath again. You will take breath again. I hate to be blunt, but sometimes we have to be blunt. You will take breath again. If you don't take up the process of bhakti with full sincerity, you will take breath again. You have to go through the whole thing again, learning how to tie your shoes, how to use the toilet, and even if you're even a human, you know. You have to go through all of it all over again. The crying and the screaming when you don't get your way, and all the trauma we go through as little as growing up, you know. You have to go through the whole thing again. So better to get out while the getting's good, you see. Take advantage of Guru, take advantage of Vaishnavas, take advantage of the revealed scriptures, and make your life perfect. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.